Now, for a few weeks, I have been encouraging you that we were going to enter into a season of reflective thinking. Reflective thinking focuses on the process of making judgments about what has happened. It means you pause and pay attention to the meter of your life, the finger path God has you on, the circumstances that have been unfolding. If it is true that the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, then we have to look for the ordering to see what God might be saying or doing. You look at a situation and you try to reach a conclusion about it. Here's an example out of Ecclesiastes. The preacher, as Solomon refers to himself, says, "Then I looked again at vanity under the sun. And there was a certain man without a dependent, having neither a son nor a brother. Yet there was no end to his labor. Indeed, his eyes were not satisfied with riches, and he never asked, 'And for whom am I laboring and depriving myself of pleasure?' This too is vanity, and it is a grievous task. Two are better than one, because they have a good return for their labor. For if either of them falls, the one will lift up his companion. But woe to the one who falls when there's not another to lift him up. Furthermore, if two lie down together, they keep warm. But how can one be warm alone? And if one can overpower him who is alone, two can resist him. A cord of three strands is not easily torn apart." Now, he went out and he looked and he saw. What did he see? He saw a lonely person. And he reached a conclusion. His conclusion was, it's better to be in relationship than to be alone. Any of you ever been alone and realized that? Okay. Reflection means I take a look at what's going on, I examine it, and I reach a conclusion about what's actually transpiring here. Now, it's necessary that I set a mindset for us to pursue this, because we're going to spend the month of February on this issue of reflective thinking. Today we're going to be looking at how we should respond to what the Lord does when he awakens us to something. Then we'll be looking at our families. Then we'll be looking at our extended relationships. Then we'll be looking at our fellow brethren in the body of Christ. But I need some kind of handle to get you in the mindset. So I've got this one little clip to show you.
Das hier ist mein Sektor.
Das hier ist das wichtigste Gerät des Küstenwächters.
Das Gerät und das Gerät.
Überlebensradar.
Mayday, Mayday. Hello, can you hear us? Can you hear us? Can you... Over. We are sinking. We are sinking.
Hallo? This is the German Coast Guard.
We are sinking. We're sinking.
What are you thinking about?
I'm authorizing you to ask one another throughout this month,
what are you thinking about? Because we will spend time thinking together.
You think you'll remember that? Yes. Now, what is it I'm asking you to do? We're going to spend the month in the book of Colossians. Y'all know where that is? Y'all have that somewhere? Clearly it's not in your hands at the moment.
We don't have to take a Bible to our church because they put it up on the board so we can look at it.
That helps you a lot when you're not here, doesn't it? Okay, how many of you actually own a Bible? that you can write in. Oh, good. See, when I grew up, you didn't write the Bible because it was God's holy word. I don't have any Bibles I can't write in. Now they're electronic, so I've got notes all throughout them. But I'm going to walk you through what I'm asking you to do so that we can focus our thinking. And perhaps in the groups that you'll meet in during this month, you'll be able to share some of the insights that the Holy Spirit will give you. This morning, I'm going to read the first 23 verses of chapter 1. And I'm going to do it in the New American Standard. But when it comes time for you to do it, I'm going to ask you that you read it in several translations.
Well, I only own one Bible. It's a little Gideon's New Testament. I can't even read it anymore.
Well, there are plenty of Bibles available online. Crosswalk.com would be a good place to start. Or if you just go out on Google and type in Colossians 1, there'll be all kinds of responses coming. So there are plenty of opportunities for you to see it through the more than one version. Here we go. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ who are at Colossae, grace to you and peace from God our Father. We give thanks to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and the love which you have for all the saints. Because of the hope laid up for you in heaven, of which you previously heard in the word of truth, the gospel, which has come to you, just as in all the world also, it is constantly bearing fruit and increasing, even as it has been doing in you also since the day you heard of it and understood the grace of God in truth, just as you learned from Epaphras, our beloved brother, bondservant, who is a faithful servant of Christ on our behalf. And he also informed us of your love in the Spirit. For this reason, since the day we heard of it, we have not ceased to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so that you will walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, to please him in all respects, bearing fruit in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all power, according to his glorious might, for the attaining of all steadfastness and patience, joyously giving thanks to the Father, who has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. For he rescued us from the domain of darkness, transferred us into the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption and forgiveness of sin. Now, at this point, these next several verses constitute a first century poem. This is the kind of things that people would memorize and recite to one another and corporately. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created, both in the heavens and on earth, visible and invisible. Whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is the head of the body, the church. And he is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he himself will come to have first place in everything. For it was the Father's good pleasure for all the fullness to dwell in him, and through him to reconcile all things to himself, having made peace through the blood of his cross. Through him, I say, whether things on earth or things in heaven. Paul continues in 21. Saying, and although you were formerly alienated and hostile in mind, engaged in evil deeds, yet he has now reconciled you in his fleshy body through death, in order to present you before him holy and blameless and beyond reproach, if indeed you continue in the faith, firmly established and steadfast, and not moved away from the hope of the gospel that you've heard, which was proclaimed in all creation under heaven, and of which I, Paul, was made a minister. Now that's a mouthful of good stuff. And you read right over it. Maybe a word caught you, a phrase or a thought that took you aside and you missed the next several verses. So what do? You go back and read it again. You ready? No, I'm not going to do that. I'm just walking you through how to do it. And then you pick it up in another translation and you read it again. And then what do? Well, I'd like to recommend that we acknowledge God, the Holy Spirit, shows up as the author of His book as you read His work, so that you have direct access to the author and can say to him, what does this mean? There are tools you can use to enrich your intellectual understanding, but you're looking for the revelation of the Scripture to you within your context. Do you understand? Now, what that means is, because the Word is alive and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the dividing of sunder, of joint and marrow, discerning, causing you to realize the thoughts and intents of your own heart, you can expect to see something for you that I won't see for me because I'm somewhere else in my walk. I'm somewhere else in my circumstances. I don't hate my stepfather anymore. I'm not mad at anybody at the moment. I mean, I don't get mad at people anymore. Yeah, right. Let's don't go there, Lenny. So, what do you do? I recommend you go back through and begin to highlight things that catch your attention. For instance, in verse 4, since we have heard of your in Christ Jesus and the which you have for all saints. Didn't we talk about faith, hope, and love recently? Just nod your head yes. Agree with the others. They were listening. You weren't. Maybe you were on travel. Your faith in Christ Jesus and the love you have for whom? All the saints. Now, let me pause here. We'll get to this clarity in a moment. But let me just help you understand something. As we read through this passage of Scripture, Paul is talking about what you have become, and he's contrasting it with what you once were. So when he says, and the love you have for all the saints, it doesn't mean that you personally love all the saints. It does mean that you have the love that will come to love all the saints, which stands in sharp contrast to the hatred and bitterness and anguish that used to characterize your life. Because you have been translated out of darkness into the kingdom of life and light. Thank you, Ken. I appreciate the way you guys serve us so faithfully. So, it's okay. It's all right. Look, how many times have you been sitting in a meeting and you heard the speaker struggling, and it never occurred to you to reach in your pocket and give him one of your cough drops? But three other people jump up and do it, and then you go, oh, I could have done that. Because they're servants and you're not. Doesn't mean you can't serve. It means there are those who are bent that way. And praise God, we have lots of those folks at our Father's house. And so they just do what needs to be done. All right. Now, in verse 5, we see, because of the hope laid up for you in heaven. Okay? So again, verse 4 says, your faith in Christ Jesus, the love which you have for all the saints, because of the hope that you have laid up for you in heaven. How many of you hope that the next life is better than this one? Okay, you're in the club. Now, moving on, down in verse 8, and he also informed us of your love in the Spirit. Now, here's the thing about this phrase, your love in the Spirit. And I just got a lot of years in this stuff. You might not see some of these things yourself, but I'll just throw this in as added. The Scripture says in Romans that the love of God has been shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. Okay? So if you're struggling with loving somebody, it's not because the love is not accessible to you. There's an obstacle in the relationship that you and Jesus got to deal with. Right? Sometimes it's unforgiveness. Sometimes it's indifferent. Sometimes it's a spirit of judgment. I want to be careful to say this to you. When we talk about the love of God and that kind of stuff, the incorruptible seed of the gospel has been planted in you and it's growing. I do not expect you to come to love the way Mother Teresa loves just because we say she shows us love. All right? It's going to manifest in your circumstances as you and the Lord nurture that thing. And it'll express itself differently from somebody else's love. But because it's His love on display through you, it will have your distinct flavor, personality, temperament, patience and impatience, justice and injustice while He refines you. All right? This is a process. How many of you know it's a process? Praise God for the process. Do you really want to be you the rest of your life? Really? Seriously? Come on. I'm looking for a better me down the road. That was not an occasion for an amen, but thank you. I'm already not the father they grew up with. All right. Now, in verse 9 through 12, let's just get through it. For this reason also, since the day we heard it, we have not ceased to pray for you to ask that. Pay attention. That you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so that you may walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, to please Him in all respects, bearing fruit in every good work, increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all power, might, steadfastness, patience, joyously giving thanks. I'll skip on down to verse 21. And although you were formerly alienated, what happened? You had a mindset that needed to be changed. You were formerly alienated and hostile in mind, engaged in evil deeds. Before you came to Christ, did any of you ever get mad enough at God just to curse at Him? Nobody? Okay, 3 of us. 4. 7. 12. I know you're out there. Okay. Because the mind of the natural man does not comprehend the things of the Spirit. And so you end up like Lieutenant Dan. Y'all remember Lieutenant Dan sitting on top of the mast in the hurricane, Forrest Gump's shrimp boat's the only one that survived the storm, and he's up there yelling, "Is that all you got?" Because he was mad at God. All right? Now that's a good picture of a mind that is hostile and alienated from the Lord. And in the process, you do what hostile minds do. You engage in evil deeds. Well, I wasn't that evil because I know somebody who's really evil, and that's what evil is. It wasn't my evil. My evil was just little evil. Evil is evil. Well, I won't hear that. Okay. Die in your sin. No, don't do that. And He has now reconciled you in His fleshy body through death. In order to what? To present you before Him, holy, blameless, beyond reproach. That's His agenda. Listen to this. If indeed you continue in the faith, steadfast, not moved away from the hope of the gospel. Now, did any of that catch you? Okay? Now, the problem is,
that was a good message today, Pastor. Thank you. It really meant something to me.
Tomorrow at lunch, I'll ask you, what did we talk about yesterday? And you go, my phone goes off, I'm going to hell. That's all you remember?
What am I supposed to be thinking about?
So we're going to spend time in the book of Colossians with you reflecting before the Lord on what His Word is saying to you. Now, when I came to that part for me, the passage that stood out for me was verses 9 through 12. Because when I see the prayer, now I have been praying the prayer in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 17 and following for years, that the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ might give to me the spirit of wisdom and revelation, the knowledge of Christ, that the eyes of my understanding might be opened and I might begin to comprehend with all the saints what is His glorious inheritance in me. And I'm telling you, He has done that again and again. I have prayed, like Solomon, for wisdom to rule God's people well. And He has given me, I am known. People call me because I want to hear your wisdom. And I've been praying that for decades. Now, here's a prayer that merits our attention. The prayer is to ask that I may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. Would you like to have that? Then ask for it. And I mean routinely ask for it. You may not even know when it starts to show up, but I promise you, if you'll stay faithful to the Lord, people will begin to say, you know, that's a word of wisdom I really needed to hear. I promise you that's what happened, because this letter is written to you. So the prayer is that I may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding for a purpose. The prayer has a goal in the earth and in my life, and it is this: so that I would walk in a manner worthy of the Lord. Now, what does that mean? What does it mean to a second-class petty officer? What does it mean to a commander? What does it mean to a project manager? What does it mean to a nanny? What does it mean to a retired person? What does it mean to somebody who's just plain tired? Can you walk in a manner worthy of the Lord when you're exhausted? It's possible. How many of you recognize that when you're really exhausted, your manner is a little off? Okie dokie. So we're talking about an ongoing process that has a goal, that wherever it is that the Lord is putting Himself on display through you, it's in a certain manner. Okay? I would submit to you, not as any kind of indictment whatsoever, just as a contrast, that the manner in which a Marine Corps drill sergeant puts on Jesus is going to differ from a triage nurse in the emergency room. It's going to be different. But Jesus can still be there. And the manner in which they walk will be different because the environment, the personality, the assignments are different. I need a drill sergeant that's going to kick my butt in order to keep me alive, as long as he does in love. Because he loves to keep you alive. They don't train you so you can die. They have Patton's philosophy about who should die in war. For the benefit of those of you who haven't seen the movie, you do not win wars by dying for your country. You win wars by making the other guy die for his country.
You shouldn't talk like that in church.
Okay, let's go outside where the real world is and this stuff really happens. Anybody reading the news? Okay. The manner worthy of the Lord. What should attend to that? To please Him in all respects, bearing fruit in every good work, increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all power, might, being steadfast and patient, and giving thanks. Does that sound like a task? All right. Now, if in your journaling, in your highlighting, and in your asking, you've got to come to the place in the month of February where you say, to whatever... Look, there's a lot of things there you can go do, right? Don't go do them. The Holy Spirit will awaken something in you within your context that'll be different from mine, right? Okay. So your challenge this month is, how do I implement what He has awakened me to? Does that make it easier? See, you don't have to do everything in that passage, but He will finger something because He is engaged in bringing you forward. So what I want you to do is be attentive this month. If you don't have a journal or a notebook or enough napkins, find something you can write on. If you use your laptop or your iPad, open a file and put February 2015. Responding to what the Lord awakens in me. And I would expect that it will have to start showing up in your calendar. It will have to start showing up in your daily routine. For instance, you can't come in here next Sunday having suddenly remembered you had an assignment to share with people and pull it off that morning over coffee. Because you're looking for this word to seep into you and for God to raise it up so that you can see it through you. That makes sense? Okay. Now, I'm hoping that this month is going to be extraordinary for many of us. Because the life we live is so frenetic, nobody stops to think anymore. And I'm asking you to stop and think about your relationship to Jesus, your relationship to your family, your relationship to your friends, and your relationship to the body of Christ. We're going to pursue this all this month in different portions out of Colossians. So you might want to just go ahead and read the whole thing, get over with. All four chapters? Yes, all four chapters. Can I do it during the commercials? Yes, if your attention span is that short. So read the passage in several translations. Highlight what catches your attention. Reflect upon your responses to what the Lord awakens in you. Now, there are two things I'm going to ask you. First, are you willing to make time in your schedule this week, after the Super Bowl, this week, after the indigestion wears off, this week, to begin the process of reflective thinking out of Colossians chapter 1? Are you willing to ask yourself and others, what are you thinking about? All month long. Okay? And men, you don't get to say nothing. Because if you do, they get to say, well, you know what you're supposed to be thinking about. It might be appropriate for you to find an... Do they still make 3x5 cards? You might want to put that thing, the one that lit up in you, on a 3x5 card. And carry it with you until you know it, till you own it. Till the thing that has oil on it lives in you. You might need a sticky note on your bathroom mirror to remind yourself, what am I supposed to be thinking about? And don't forget it as you run out the door. When we get to the 3 days of prayer and fasting in the middle of the month, you'll have plenty of ammunition by then to sit something before the Lord for personal transformation. Yay us. We're on our way. There you have it. Aren't you glad you came? Well, good. Let's make this month a serious month. It should not have escaped your attention. Me knowing you as well as I do, I picked the shortest month in the year to ask you to do this. But I would like us to close like this. If you can, in good conscience, offer yourself to the Lord this morning and appeal for His grace to help you make the changes in your schedule that are necessary, I want you to stand up with me. and we're going to ask him to do that. We're people of the Spirit. This is not just intellectual stuff. We believe in this power of the Spirit of wisdom and revelation to produce transformation. And you hear those testimonies already. Father, as a people, we're asking you to engage us by your Spirit in the Word in such a fashion this month that our schedules are altered, our minds are enriched, our spirits rise up, and you, Lord, become more real to us than we have known in a long, long time. I speak blessing over these who want to take the journey and ask you to sustain us by your grace. May we continue to ask one another, what are you thinking about? And to share the insights we have. May we be so excited about what we see, we can't hold back from telling one another. And grant us, Lord, that this month will be a watershed event into a new future with you. In Jesus' name, amen. We have prayed for those who are in crisis, but if you feel like you need prayer this morning for any reason, the altar will be open. We invite our first-time guests out into the hospitality suite, out the double doors to the left. Our greeters will meet you there. They have a gift for you. And we encourage you to embrace one another on your way out. Those of you who haven't seen Steve Bennington in a while, he's hiding over here. You ought to hug his neck.